The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light, and those dwelling in the land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of people." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along there a little further, and he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father, and they followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness. The gospel of the Lord. The call of the first disciples of Jesus Christ according to the Gospel of Matthew. It happens at Capernaum. It says Jesus left wherever he was. He left Nazareth. He left his hometown. Luke tells us that. And he moved to Capernaum. Capernaum is by the sea. It's on the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. It's a fishing area. So it was natural that the first he would call would be fishermen. Had this happened in Caesarea Philippi, he might have called farmers or sheep herders. But since it was on the sea and fishing was a great industry at the time, it was natural that he would call those who were in the fishing industry. Looking at these four who are the first called by Jesus here, according to the Gospels, they were prosperous. They were not poor, and they were reasonably well educated. Most likely, well, certainly they spoke Aramaic. They read Hebrew because the Torah was read in Hebrew in the synagogue, and most likely they knew some Greek because the Gospels originally appear in the Greek language. Capernaum at the time was a prosperous place. There's a reason why it was prosperous. It was on the Via Maris, which was a trading route between Egypt and Damascus. And all the caravans moved through there. And interestingly, Matthew was a tax collector, which means he was collecting lots of taxes from the caravans that were going through with all the goods and chattels from Egypt to Damascus. In that area of the Sea of Galilee is where all the fishing happened, up in the top quarter of the Sea of Galilee. And all those who have been pilgrims will understand this. The reason for the fish being there, not in the lower half of the sea, it's a very small area, about 14 miles from top to bottom, 7.5 miles wide, small area. But the River Jordan rises up near the Lebanon at Mount Hermon and flows down across northern Galilee, across the Golan Heights, you read about the Golan, and into the Sea of Galilee, and there are warm springs there, and the warm springs attract the fish. That's why the fishing happens near Capernaum, Bethsaida, Capernaum. These are fishing, Magdala, Mary Magdala. These are fishing areas. He calls these four, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. He calls them to discipleship. Now, Jesus also calls many women to discipleship. If you read the gospel, you'll find that. But as Patrick Mullen, the scripture scholar, says, the gospels are written by men and for men. And therefore, in a patriarchal society, in the time of Jesus, the women don't get much attention, even though they were part of the inner circle of Jesus' discipleship. You'll find there in chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus goes to the mountain to pray, and he prays all night, and when he comes back in the morning, he chooses 12 from his disciples. He had many disciples, and he chooses 12, and these will be the 12 apostles. And he appoints them as apostles. The disciple was one who followed Jesus and learned from Jesus. He introduced them to a new world. They learned about forgiveness. They learned about welcoming, about healing, about blessing people, about raising people from the dead. That's what they learned as disciples. And now he selects 12. Keep in mind, this is a patriarchal society, and the 12 are picked and selected, that number, to represent a new Israel. Since the Israel of the Jewish tradition was founded on the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons of Jacob. And now the new Israel, a new dispensation, will also be founded on these 12 men. Jacob's 12 sons, now 12 men, to introduce to the people at the time, that would be their understanding, that this was a new Israel. It was a new day, a new dispensation. So he selects these 12, and they have learned from him, and now he sends them out. They will fail. They must fail. If they don't fail, they will never understand the teaching of Jesus. They will not experience forgiveness. They won't understand being persecuted. They won't understand suffering unless they fail. So failure is part of the ministry of the apostles. And only after they have failed and after they have experienced the welcoming of Jesus in their failure, only then will they truly understand that Jesus is preaching about a new world, not the world of the institutional tradition, but a new world, a world of hospitality, a world of welcoming, a world of understanding, a world of kindness, blessing, patience. This is a new world. That's the gospel. They are sent to preach this gospel. They will not understand this gospel until they have failed miserably. Like Peter denying Jesus, all the 12, they all leave Jesus. Read the 21st chapter of Gospel of John. They all went back to fishing. It said, Jesus was a failure. He died on the cross. We thought this was the messianic person, and now we're convinced he was not. And therefore, they went back to fishing, and Jesus reconciles them on the edge of the Sea of Galilee at a place called Tagba. What does this mean to us? We are followers of Jesus Christ. We are called not to belong to the church. We are called to belong to Jesus Christ. We live out our belonging to Jesus Christ in the Catholic tradition, in the Eucharist, and in the church. But following Jesus Christ is not keeping the commandments, and it's not following the laws of the church. They are a consequence of a relationship with Jesus Christ. When I have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then through love and through blessing and through kindness, I will find the energy to follow the commandments and to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Robert Barron, in one of his excellent books, speaks about the soul which is within each of us. He talks about the pusilla anima and the magna anima in Latin. The pusilla anima is a small soul. It's a small soul. The magna anima is a great soul. But you will not know about the magna anima unless you have experienced a small soul. Small soul is when we feel small. I have felt small many times. Maybe you have. Where we're selfish and we're picky and we're demanding. We're not forgiving. We're judgmental about other people. Where we're coveting things. I have to have my way. That's a small soul. The great soul is the soul of discipleship. And that's the soul that we proclaim in the name of Jesus Christ. It's a soul of openness, of welcoming, of kindness. It's a soul of understanding and of patience. That's the soul of the one who has gone through a conversion in Jesus Christ. Think about your own life. Think about the small soul. And then think about the magna anima, the great soul, which is the witness of Jesus Christ. You'll find that in a personal way in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And all pilgrims will remember this, that when we went to Jericho, and Luke tells us about this fellow in Jericho who had a small soul. He was named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a selfish, mean, demanding fellow. He was a tax collector. And he would put extra taxes on people because he paid to the Roman Empire what was due to them. Anything else he got belonged to him. So he put heavy taxes on the people. He was reviled by the people. He was a person with a small soul. And then Jesus goes by, and since he is short, he is small. Now Luke, when he says he's short and he's small, he's not just talking about his stature, he's talking about his soul. He's so small that he climbs a sycamore tree to see Jesus coming. And would you believe that right in the middle of Jericho today, there's a sycamore tree. Now, it's not the one that was there in the gospel, but it gives you a little feel for the sycamore tree in Luke 19. Jesus comes and he sees him on the sycamore tree and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I mean to have a meal at your house tonight." Now, a meal to us could be something at Shakers or something like that. But a meal in the time of Jesus meant a bonding. It meant kinship. It meant belonging. It was a statement of hospitality. It was a statement of friendship. And Jesus says, "I'm going to go to your house, miserable person that you are, pusilla anima that you have. I'm going to eat at your house." When he is touched by Jesus, he goes through a whole conversion, his whole family, and he professes to Jesus, "I will pay back fourfold to anybody that I have cheated. I'll give half my goods to the poor." He goes through this enormous conversion because he has failed, and now he discovers his magna anima. Might keep that in mind. Never get discouraged when you fail. Failure is an introduction to the kindness, the goodness, and the forgiveness of God. Failure is where love is tested. I've often wondered here when I have weddings, It's an enormous statement that I pledge to you, you can be vulnerable in my presence. I can be vulnerable, I can make mistakes in your presence, don't matter. You're going to love me in good times and bad, in sickness and health. That's the magna anima, that's the great soul. And that's a true discipleship. And only when we have experienced failure and we have experienced the blessing of forgiveness and recovery, only then can we become apostles to preach Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't always happen in the church. Sometimes we get very small in the church, and we make little laws about you fit and you don't fit, and you're in sin and you're in grace. We do foolish things like that, which in many ways they don't honor the doctrine that becomes part of discipleship. And fulfilled in discipleship, it's sent by apostles to preach a new doctrine, a new openness, a new understanding, a new forgiveness. The magna anima is the soul of an apostle. Change your day today. This is the Lord's day. And celebrate the great soul which you have within you. Amen.